A judge has thrown out a criminal indictment against Rensselaer DA Ibolov, who accused of lying to a grand jury and mishandling the investigation of a fatal police shooting back in 2016. This news comes to the dismay of local community group Justice for Demeek, who was formed after the officer-involved shooting of 22-year-old Demeek McDonald was shot in the head during a parole arrest in the summer of 2017. Luckily, Demeek survived his injuries. In this next piece, Kleana interviews Tommy Weddington, member of Justice for Demeek, for their reaction on the recent developments of the ongoing fight to hold law enforcement accountable for police brutality in the community.
Okay, so I'm here with Tommy Weddington, one of the members of the Justice for Demeek organizing group based in Troy, New York. Thank you so much for coming today and making the time to meet with me. I really appreciate it.
Of course, happy to be here.
Okay, thank you. So I know that you've been doing a lot in the community, your organization. What are some things that you've been up to? And, you know, I'd really like to know, like, what are your initial reactions as a group to the, Ibolov's charges being thrown out?
Yeah. So I think that there's kind of two layers to your question. The first thing, just what we've been up to, we're still trying to put pressure on the mayor's office, city council, PD, to have a thorough investigation of Demeek McDonald's shooting late last summer, and then we're also trying to be more proactive in pushing for a civilian review board with teeth, so that, you know, there's some kind of way of having an external or objective or community-based kind of institutional governmental mechanism to check the police when they commit what we believe are abuses of power and cover-ups, which kind of gets me to the Ibolov situation. So your listeners may be familiar with the shooting of Edson Thevenin, which was in 2016.
And for those who aren't familiar, can you just give us a little background?
So Edson Thevenin, it was, I believe, summer 2016. I forget the exact date. He was shot and killed by Troy PD after they claimed that he had attempted to attack them with his vehicle. That was during a traffic stop. And so there's this whole bit about, in the interim time before that it occurred, the governor issued an executive order requiring all instances of police killings that had the perception of misdoing by the police department to be handled at the state level. And so this is the background for which the Ibolov case exists, such that Ibolov started the investigation and handling of the police shooting of Edson Thevenin at the local level, right, which violated the executive order. And so that leads to the Attorney General's office, state level, investigating and eventually indicting Ibolov on five charges. I can't remember them all. I believe one of them was including misconduct for how he investigated Edson Thevenin shooting. And the report's online, so definitely read through it if your listeners haven't already. Ends up indicting him for these five charges related to the Edson Thevenin shooting. And what was supposed to start this week was the trial. We're disappointed to find out that a local Supreme Court judge threw out the charges.
And wasn't it because the person who brought up charges against Ibolov, was it because it was out of his jurisdiction or something like that? What was the, like the loophole was ridiculous.
Right. So I'm not a lawyer. I'm not right. A legal scholar or anything like that. But what I understand is that the charges were dismissed on a procedural level, right? It was that, not that there was any truth or mistruth to the claims of the indictment. It was that the judge effectively found, like you said, there was the state attorney general had no jurisdiction to prosecute. If I'm understanding the situation correctly, Ibolov, right? So it's basically saying that even though the executive order was issued that, you know, Ibolov's office ran afoul of, was issued by the governor at the state level, this judge found that for whatever reason, there was no jurisdiction for that case to actually.
And so what has been the reaction amongst the group of organizers in Justice for Demeek? Mm-hmm. And what has been the response amongst the bigger community of, you know, of Troy? How does everyone feel about this?
I guess I'll put the second question first. I'm not quite sure, because I think that there hasn't really been a widespread community discussion, as far as I know, specifically about the case being dismissed. So it hasn't been a week since we found out the case was dismissed. So hopefully this weekend we'll have op-eds, things like that, where you have community members actually speaking their mind on it. I believe the New York Times has also been following, had also been following the Abelov case, if I remember correctly. And so there are people paying attention. There are definitely people paying attention to the case. I think it's just a question of who is paying attention at the local level, right, in the capital region. I guess to kind of get to the first part of the question, the folks that have been organizing for Dameek McDonald have been paying attention. You know, some of your listeners might remember, like, the press conference that we had last fall, actually about the Attorney General's report, and been kind of saying that, you know, this kind of shows at least a level of incompetence, right, such that you would begin investigating a case that the governor, state governor, says that you're not actually supposed to handle at the local level, or at worst, corruption, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what we've kind of been feeling is that this is kind of the same story of that you've seen happen locally and nationally, of law enforcement, elected officials kind of covering for each other, finding ways to not be held responsible to the same set of laws, and specifically laws that are supposed to be making sure that our police officers, our state-appointed lawyers, so on and so forth, are actually doing their jobs as they should.
So, you have been doing a lot of things out in the community. I know you did the press conference, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then you did the open forum in the church, which I attended, and it was really great. What do you have other things planned for outreach in the community? Is that kind of under wraps right now? And also, what does community support look like? Do you have any other organizations that you're teaming up with, or is that like under wraps right now?
I mean, I don't think much is under wraps. I think that, you know, speaking frankly, these things take a lot of time and energy, right? And it takes time and energy to create change and sustainable change at the institutional level, you know, local government, right? And so what we've really kind of been trying to push for now is kind of trying to build community support and pressure on our elected officials to kind of create a civilian review board. You know, there's only so much that you can do as far as the court system and dealing with Abelov, but also with the officers that were involved in Dameek McDonald's shooting. There's only so much we can do, right? And we just kind of have to wait for that to play out. But in the meantime, we feel like we can be more proactive about making sure that we try and set up and create, you know, popular support for institutions like civilian review boards that can hopefully stop this kind of cycle that we've seen going on over the past few years, if not even further back, of police misconduct.
Okay, great. Can you tell us where we can find you, how we can support or follow what's going on in Troy or with Justice for Dameek specifically?
Yeah, sure. So definitely we have the Justice for Dameek Facebook group, Justice for Dameek, like spelled out all words, numbers or anything like that, at gmail.com. But I would definitely say that if you are listening and you want to get involved, probably the easiest thing you can do is create some kind of demand, or you can contact us if you want the language or something like that for a civilian review board to send to city council, the mayor's office, and so on and so forth. I think that with a smaller community like Troy, and specifically Troy being its own distinct kind of city government, it's easy to have everyone's voices be heard. And I think that if we have community leaders, you know, widespread ground level support for a civilian review board, it's hard for our city government to deny that that's what, you know, their constituents want.
Okay. Tommy, thank you again for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
That was me interviewing Tommy Weddington, member of Justice for Dameek. And just a note, Dameek is spelled D-A-H-M-E-E-K.